We are continuing our sermon series during Lent as we think about Easter living. So I invite you to take your Bibles or follow along on the screens or your order of worship today as we read another of Paul's letters. This morning we are listening to his words in Colossians as he writes to the Christians there in the city of Colossae. We're continuing to listen as he writes to us about Easter living. What does it mean to live a life that is full of the resurrection of Christ? How do we apply that to our lives today? So I invite you to listen to Paul's words, Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 5. Scripture says, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word today. We continue, as we said, thinking about Easter living this morning. So far, we have listened to Paul's words in three of his letters to the Christian communities of Galatia, Corinthian, and Romans, those three letters. Those three letters are some of Paul's earliest writings. Galatians may have been written as early as 54 AD, just 20 years or so after the death and resurrection of Jesus. One of Paul's earliest letters. We follow Galatians then with his first letter, Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth. And that letter was probably written a couple of years after the letter to the Galatians, maybe 56 AD. And then last week we read Paul's letter to the church in Rome, probably written in 58 AD, at the height, many scholars would say, of Paul's Christian missionary career. This morning, we read Paul's words to his letter to those in Colossae, and this letter was written more toward the end of Paul's ministry. In fact, it's quite possible, probable even, that Paul was in prison as he wrote these words, and he knew he was facing the end of his life. In this letter, in Colossians, Paul continues to build upon what he's been writing about to all the Christians about what does it mean to live an Easter life. And this morning, Paul has some very specific and direct words that I believe he wants us to pay attention to. So this morning, we ask, in Colossians, what can we learn from this passage about what it means to live an Easter life? Well, Paul's overall message is this: you used to live one way, but now you live a new way. You used to have an old life, Paul says. Now you have a new life. You used to live for yourself, but now you live an Easter life. Here's some of how I would summarize what Paul began saying in this passage. He says, here's how you used to live. You belong to your earthly nature. Your earthly nature and your old life involved things like sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed. Your life was controlled and dominated by these things, but not anymore, Paul says. Easter living is about something new. It's about something different from your old way of life. Now you must put away all the things that characterized your old life. And Paul says those things included not only what I just mentioned, but also they included things like anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language, on and on and on Paul goes. This is what your life used to be like. But now, because of Christ, you live an entirely new and different life. In fact, now Paul says, here's what your life looks like. Now you are clothed with different things. You are clothed with compassion, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness. You are clothed with patience and forgiveness. Paul emphasizes that word forgiveness, an essential part of Easter living, Paul says. And above all of these things, there is love. We cannot forget love. These are the things, Paul says, that define and characterize the Easter way of living. Now, obviously, this morning, we cannot spend all of our time thinking about all of these words. But there are a few words that I think kind of stand out in this passage that especially for Paul characterizes what he wants us to know in Colossians about what it means to live an Easter life. One of those words is forgiveness. An Easter action word in this passage is forgiveness. Paul says at the core and essence of living an Easter life is being a forgiving person. And that word was so important to Paul on a personal level. I believe as Paul sat in prison nearing the end of his own life, Paul was reflecting back on many of the experiences he had had in life. And he was realizing as he sat in that prison cell how important forgiveness had been for him. Paul, formerly Saul of Tarsus, his old way of life, was not an easy person to have forgiven. You remember, Paul hated and despised Christians. As a devout Pharisee, Saul of Tarsus, was convinced that Jesus and his followers were undermining and destroying everything that God had come for. He believed that it was his calling to make sure that he put a stop to those people who were disrupting what God had done for the people of Israel for centuries. But then Paul had two pivotal experiences. The first is that Saul was present when Stephen, the first Christian martyr, was stoned. Kim read about what happened shortly after that experience, but let's go back right before it and talk about what Saul experienced at the stoning of Stephen. We won't get into the details, but you can imagine this kind of capital punishment was brutal. And Scripture tells us Saul of Tarsus stood by, not only consenting to, but giving witness to this tragedy. In fact, Scripture tells us that as those who were involved in the stoning took off their outer garments, they laid them at the feet of none other than Saul of Tarsus. But then something unique happened. Saul watched as he stood there overlooking the outer garments of those involved with this tragedy. He watched as Stephen, the person being martyred, lifted his face to the heavens and offered a prayer. Acts chapter 7 verse 60 tells us what Stephen prayed. Stephen looked to the heavens as he was being killed, and he said, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." I am certain for the rest of his life, Saul, who later became Paul, remembered those words of Stephen. They rang in his head over and over again. This person who was being persecuted was not resentful, was not bitter, was not angry, was praying for forgiveness for those who were hurting him. That was Saul's first experience. But scripture says even that did not change Saul's perspective. It did not immediately change him. We learn from scripture, he decided to intensify his persecution of the Christian church, to wipe the Christian movement off the face of the earth. So he decided to go to Damascus to continue his persecution. But as Saul traveled to Damascus, the second thing happened to him. It was that conversion experience we are familiar with. A brilliant, blinding light surrounded Saul. And he had the incredible experience of being in the presence of God, for a voice said to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And scripture says Saul cried out, "Who are you, Lord?" And it was then that Saul heard words of forgiveness and grace. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you need to do." Saul was then led blind and confused to the city of Damascus. And when he got to Damascus, think about how interesting this is, what happened to him. He was led to an upper room. Isn't that interesting? An upper room. We are told that he stayed in that room for 3 days and 3 nights. Isn't that interesting? He could neither eat nor drink. And then a frightened disciple named Ananias slowly climbed the steps to that upper room and took Saul's hands and said to him, "Saul, the Lord who appeared to you on the road to Damascus has sent me so that you might regain your sight and that you might be filled with the Holy Spirit." And the Bible tells us that something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and Saul rose and he ate some food and was baptized. And Saul, the old life, became Paul, the Easter life. And that moment was the beginning of a ministry that would spread the Christian movement all around the Roman world and would include a significant part of the New Testament in terms of writing. Saul became Paul. His conversion began the experience of Christ's movement spreading throughout the world. But it was Paul's memory of Stephen and his prayer of forgiveness that resonated and began this journey for Saul of Tarsus. Of all the things Paul is convinced of, Easter living includes forgiveness. And as he sits in another small room, a prison cell, writing this letter to an obscure congregation in Colossae, modern-day Turkey, Paul had the experience now of offering forgiveness himself. He was having to forgive a group of people who betrayed him and falsely accused him of something that made him end up in prison. And Paul was writing to his Christian friends in Colossae, telling them, "Never forget the power of forgiveness." His word saying, "Forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive." Forgiveness is an Easter living action word. We are called to be forgiving people. Forgiveness cannot be forced, but we are called to be channels of God's forgiveness flowing through us. We are called not to block or withhold forgiveness, but we're called to let God's forgiveness flow through us to the lives of others. Paul says, "Do you want to live an Easter life? Practice forgiveness." Another word that stands out here is kindness. It's an important Easter action word. In the third chapter of Colossians, Paul teaches us something very important about living Easter lives. Paul says, if you want to know what the resurrection is about, and if you want to live your life the way Jesus lived his life, then realize that it's not just a future event, but it's something you can live here and now if you pattern your life after Jesus Christ himself. And Paul wanted us to know that Jesus was a person whose life was filled with kindness. Paul says if we are to live Easter lives, then Jesus would have us to treat others with the same kind of kindness that God has demonstrated to us. In other words, Paul said, it is no longer appropriate for us to treat others the way we used to treat them in the old life. For the new life, the Easter life, is full of kindness and full of grace. This is tough. If I'm honest, I often fail in this regard. It's difficult and it's challenging to fight through our humanity and to offer kindness and grace to others. But that is what Paul says Easter living is all about. In one of his sermons, Billy Graham was describing this biblical idea and concept of kindness. And Billy Graham preached these words. He said, kindness is a term that comes from a Greek word referring to a kindness that pervades and penetrates our whole nature. Kindness washes away all that is harsh, Billy Graham preached. Indeed, kindness is love enduring, he says. Jesus was a kind person. When Jesus came into the world, there were few institutions of mercy. There were few hospitals. There were no mental institutions. There were few places of refuge for the poor. There were few homes for orphans. There were few havens for the forsaken. In comparison to our world today, it was a cruel world, but Christ changed that, Billy Graham preached. Wherever true Christianity has gone, Jesus' followers have performed acts of kindness. The poet John Boyle O'Reilly writes, "What is real good? I asked in a musing mood. Order, said the law court. Knowledge, said the school. Truth, said the wise man. Pleasure, said the fool. Love, said the maiden. Beauty, said the page. Freedom, said the dreamer. Home, said the sage. Fame, said the soldier. Equity, said the seer. Spake my heart full sadly, the answer is not here. Then within my bosom softly, this I heard. Each heart holds the secret. Kindness is the word." According to Easter Living, kindness means refusing to let our communication be contaminated by the old negatives of life. No more anger, no more wrath, no more malice or slander. But Paul says this, "Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old nature with its practices and you have put on the new nature." Kindness is Easter living. Finally, I think Paul emphasizes for us the importance of love. Perhaps the most significant word here is love. The word love, agape, in the Greek means unconditional caring and commitment. In the New Testament, agape is used of God's love for us. And Paul says in verse 14, "Above all of these things, above everything else, put on love, which binds everything together in harmony." In other words, Paul is saying love is the dominating characteristic of the person who lives an Easter life. Love makes all the difference. I think if Paul were here this morning, he would agree with David Redding, a pastor. David Redding writes, "There is no other blessing I can give you, no gift so precious, no treasure so refreshing, nothing that can provision you for the journey we are all making than to tell you that someone is searching diligently for you. That someone is not a stationary God. That someone is crazy about you. The expense to which God has gone isn't reasonable, is it? The cross was not a dignified ransom. To say the least, it was a splurge of love and glory lavishly spent on you and me. I think that's what Paul was saying to the Christians in Colossae. Love makes all the difference. The love of God shining through believers in Christ Jesus, through the darkness of this world, that is the primary characteristic of those who live Easter lives. Paul says in his letter to the Colossians, you want to know what Easter living is all about? Well, there are many things. It's putting away your old way of life. It's putting on the new. But as you think about the new, Paul would say, I want you to focus on forgiveness, kindness, and love. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, life becomes challenging at times, and we all fail to live up to your calling. It's challenging and difficult in our lives to be forgiving and kind and loving, but we know that it is the new life, the Easter life, that you have called us to live. So, Lord, as we seek to live for you, give us strength and courage to follow these things in all of our lives. Lead us and guide us as we pray, for we make this our prayer in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.